B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey, I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
That's actually pretty good.
Was that one good?
That was actually pretty good. I don't know what was different about that one.
I can never really tell.
That was pretty good. It had the angst behind it. That was pretty good. I like that one.
Well, maybe it was a...
Didn't exactly stick the landing. We stumbled a little bit, but still. That was, of all of them, and this is the seventh day I've worked with you in the last month, I would say that's better than the other six.
Well, I have a theory as to why it could be. I'm a little more exhausted, a little more fatigued today than normal. From the victory lap I've been taking for about the last 20 hours.
A minute and a half, 90 seconds.
On social media.
Do you want to do one around the room right
90,
now?
90? Who had 90 seconds? Anyone in the room? Nick, you had 90? What
honestly,
was the over-under?
I would have certainly taken the under on that. From the victory lap that I've been taking on social media. You know, not that I want to rub anyone's nose in anything today. That's something a lesser man would do. That's not something that that I would do. But I would like to remind everybody that I've just been very, very right about Mac Jones. That's all. So I've been a little tired, a little exhausted from patting myself on the back, taking a victory lap, congratulating myself, popping bottles of champagne. Which is now why I'm a little more fatigued today. And maybe that's why the good morning everybody works so well today.
And that right? could be. You had the right amount of gravel in it. And I didn't know how long we were going to wait to get into this. But since we got into it, I will give you all the credit in the world. You were steadfast. You were waving that Mac Jones flag in the face of a stampede of people heading the other way.
Yes.
It was you, Tommy Curran, and maybe a couple other people. 95% of the media including myself, including Joe Murray, had Cam Newton as the starter. We thought that all points, evidence pointed in that direction.
95 is too low, by the way.
Yeah, well, whatever the case may be, the overwhelming majority. And you said Mac Jones is going to be the starting quarterback of this team. And 6 minutes after the show ended, and by the way, that's par for the course around here. 6 minutes after the program ended yesterday, we got word that Cam Newton was being released. Mac Jones is going to be the starter. And here we go. I think across the board, all of us think this is the right move to make. And we were wondering why Bill was, you know, defiant in the face of all of the facts that pointed in Mac's direction. I'm happy he went in this direction, but that's not the big story today. The big story is, Jones, you were right. There have been many times where you've been wrong. Today is not one of those days.
I don't know why we need to circle back to all that now. I don't know why we need to, highlight all the...
I just want to make sure everyone understands that you got one.
Good for you. No. You got to cut me down. You got to cut me down
the guy
there.
That says when the Patriots signed Cam Newton, you were like, yeah! Well, great move for Bill.
I did say that.
You were
all over it. I've been beaten up for that for the last year.
I know, and this is why, getting back to where we started, that you have earned your victory lap. It's not often in this business, all of us go through this, it's not often in this business that you are 100% right and the people who go against you were 100% wrong. This is one of those days.
I feel like you need to go far. I feel like I need an actual apology. Well, I feel like I need an actual
from
apology.
Who? From who?
From you.
Why?
Because I want one.
Well, I think you went full vulture mode, though. Like,
what's that now?
You, like me, I always wanted Mac Jones, and I want to bet. So I bet Mac Jones plus 180 to be the starter.
Uh-huh.
But I rode the fence a little bit at the end. I jumped off.
Did you hedge?
No, Okay. No, no.
What do you mean you rode the fence a little bit at the end? I asked you both yesterday who the starting quarterback is going to be, whether or not you both said it was never even a competition. You literally both said that yesterday.
I'm trying to tell you.
Well, that's not riding the fence. That's being very adamant and very dismissive of Mac Jones.
Literally, Jones, until Sunday when I did postgame, I was like you. Mac Jones. Mm-hmm. And then here he comes out of nowhere, Cam Newton starting. And I'm like, even Zoe kind of sold me and... You know, and I'm like, oh, this is your quarterback, everybody.
Zoe's very adamant on the broadcast.
This is your quarterback, everybody. And I'm like,
very adamant.
Oh, man.
I personally was not swayed, but you were, Joe.
I got swayed, man. I mean, I hit my bet, so like, I look like a genius anyways. But I was,
you see, that's
I was
weird.
Wrong, Jones.
That's weird because he bet Mac Jones.
3 months ago, I bet Mac Jones to be the week one starter.
That's not weird to me. Like, that's not weird to me. You made the bet. What are you going to do? Take it back?
I could hedge out of it.
I mean, I guess
there was no money. There was nothing I could have done because Cam Newton was as high as $380 to be the starter.
Yes. I actually, now that we're talking about bets, I remember Lifshatz was lecturing me about all the odds week one.
We've all been on the receiving end of a Dan Lifshatz lecture. Joe more than most? But we've all got one.
It was a Twitter lecture about the week one odds. You know what the week one odds?
Well, that's nothing. You really need it in person.
And I said, I don't care what the week one odds say. And this is why, in some ways, I would like to point this out. Because Tom Ekuren was phenomenal on this story. Phenomenal.
Gotta give him credit.
And he has, like, actual sources and actually, like, talks to people and reports. You know, like, I don't do any of that. I don't pretend to do any of that. But in some ways, what I did was more impressive. I just used my... What?
You were a vulture. You circled the prey.
No, it's just got like, through praising Tommy Curran about it. But I'm way more impressive than him.
He had to talk to people to come to his conclusion.
He had
to use sourcing to come to his conclusion.
I'm a dumbass, and I came to the same conclusion, you're saying.
I just used my giant big brain in my head.
I see.
And I did a very simple equation. A very simple equation.
Uh-huh.
Cam Newton stinks. The Patriots drafted someone 15th overall. They spent $1 billion in free agency. They're not going to start Cam Newton. It was really that simple. And this idea that, like, Bill's afraid of starting rookies, or Mac Jones would be physically ready in October but not physically ready now, or that they were afraid to try to beat Tom Brady in week 4. Like, I just never bought any of that. I didn't buy any of that stuff.
All right, to move off of you for 1 second, because we have 4 hours of you here.
I was hoping to make it
3 hours and 58 minutes. Looking at this team now, overall, everything has opened up. There is optimism. You know they can use the full offense. And most importantly, he is the week one starter, which gives him time to kind of settle in, get the speed of regular season leading into the real tough part of the schedule, which begins week 4. I mean, that was the debate over the last couple of weeks. If you're going to start Cam Newton as the quarterback, he's got to be the starting quarterback for the first month, because there's that big, you know, primetime game against Brady. You can't toss the kid in 1 week before or the week of. That's not fair to him. Now he's the week one starter. He'll get his feet wet, and he'll be fine. And from what we heard from the players yesterday and what we've all seen with our own eyeballs, not much phases this kid. He'll make mistakes, but he's not one of those guys that's going to panic and curl up in a ball either. I mean, it just seems to me this is the right move on so many levels. It gets everyone confident. It gets everyone relaxed. Everyone can move forward. There's not the when are we going to make the switch question. It just solidifies everything. Everybody can move forward. And most importantly, this offense can run everything this offense needs to run.
No, I mean, look.
It's what you said, Jones.
I mean,
it's what you wanted them to hitch their wagons to a guy.
Thank you.
And they did it.
Thank you. I could use more of that all morning if you'd
I'm
like
I'm sure
to,
the callers like are lining up. How many callers are on hold, Nick? We have anyone on hold yet? We have a guy already.
Let me give the number out. It's 617-779-0985.
I'm sure everyone wants to call in and bow at your altar, Jones, because that's what people do.
You are certainly allowed to do that. Genuflect at the altar of Jones here this morning.
Jones Stradamus.
And that is not Mac Jones. Like, don't get that confused. That is not Mac Jones. That is bowing down, genuflecting at the altar of Adam Jones, all-seeing, all-knowing Jones Stradamus. Again, 617-779-0985. 0985. The Brady thing to me was the dumbest thing about all of it. I thought that was the dumbest thing.
But that was the narrative. That was the narrative.
No.
For
and
the
it
better
was,
part
no,
of 2 months.
No,
ever
I understand.
Since we found out what the schedule was.
I understand. I was like Lieutenant Dan screaming into the hurricane trying to tell people how stupid that was. But the week four thing I thought was dumb. Do you think Bill wants to beat Tom Brady?
Badly.
Of course he does.
Badly.
Of course he does. What, he wants to lose to Tom Brady by 50 points? Then go ahead and start Cam Newton. If you want to beat Tom Brady or have a chance to beat Tom Brady, and I'm not saying Mac Jones is going to beat him. Like, if you want a chance to beat Tom Brady, you need to start your best quarterback. Why would they not start him against the Bucs week four? Like, that never, ever, ever made sense to me. Never. And so, you know, this whole thing with Mac Jones, they put a ton on his plate. You're right, Wallach. Whether it was, you know, the different formations, whether it was hurry up offense, which when I talked to Ted Johnson after the first preseason game against Washington, he said it felt like they were showing off Mac Jones, like they were showing off a shiny new toy, almost like Josh McDaniels was saying, Bill, do you see? Do you see what we can do with this kid that we can't do with this guy? Like, from the very first game he got into, they could go up tempo. That every formation they had was open to them. Just about every play in the playbook. There are things Cam can do that Mac can't
having
in terms
the rookie,
of running and things like this.
Having the rookie walk in, have an empty set, and run the two-minute drill, like in his second preseason game, and look good doing it, that was eye-opening. That was the part where I said, okay, now we got something here. That Bill not only trusts this kid to do it, the kid actually goes out on the field and executes. That's one thing to do it in practice. It's another thing to do it with the preseason, and that, granted, not as good as regular season, but preseason bullets flying. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what this kid can do. Do I think he's going to be a Pro Bowler? No, but I do think that this team can accomplish more. And I also think people on the defensive side of the football are like, oh, finally. You know, here we have a fighting chance. We don't have to be on the field for 35, 38 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, on the Patriots defensive side of the field. Yeah, God. I agree. What are you smirking at over there?
I know yesterday we talked about my favorite part of the day is sitting in that car for 15 minutes before the show. And you listened to that podcast yesterday, man. And, you know, you got a lot of tidbits out of that Curran podcast. You know?
No, well, again, Tom Curran did a phenomenal job. Tom Curran did actual reporting. I just used the old Jones brain. And, you know, that's how we were able to come to the conclusion. But yes. Again, if you want to pay your respects, you can do that all morning long. Here on Toucher and Rich, by the way, no Fred, no Rich, if you couldn't tell. Adam Jones, John Wallach, and Joe Murray. In until 10 o'clock here, Mac Jones is in as the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. Cam Newton, obviously out as the starting quarterback, formerly of the New England Patriots. Why now is the big question all morning long. We'll be getting to that and more in what happened last night next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Tub. Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub. No Fred, no Rich. Jones, Wallach, Murray. News, of course, broke that Cam Newton out as Patriots quarterback. Mac Jones, now the starting quarterback here in New England. You just heard the promo for Zoe and Beetle. We were just talking about this off the air. Murray, were you still here when that happened, or were you already driving home?
I was in the car.
So was I.
I was in the car. Dan, some of us were still in the building.
Well, yeah.
Dan actually works
at 10,
hard.
At 10:06.
No. 10:06, please.
Literally, I was down almost, the hall.
I was almost home.
We're gone.
I was like in Charleston.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like pulling onto my street by 10:06.
Not for nothing, though, but, you know, to change the subject very quickly about the emails that have been going around. This building is falling apart.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
So there was nobody here. So when I literally walked out of the building, I mean, I walked down the hall when it was going on, and I looked at Zoe, and he put his arms up like this, like, how you like me now? Because He knew the reaction on my face was, are you effing kidding me? It's 10:06 and this is happening right now. So
yeah, well, we, you know,
weren't too many people in the building.
Well, we've only had an internet outage, a gas leak, and now a water main burst. Is that accurate to say?
Water main break.
Yeah. So I was not even convinced I was going to be able to make coffee when I got here today, but I was.
How long before we moved to the suburbs? When does that happen? When do we get out of here? Go somewhere else.
Next summer?
Jesus.
Yeah. Next summer is what I've heard.
But don't drink too much coffee because you may have to hold it.
Oh, that's right. That's
true. No. I read one of our sales guys hooked up a porta potty deal.
Oh,
nice.
Has it been delivered yet?
There's
a lot of things getting delivered here to the building as well.
That's a good question.
That is true.
Anybody see the delivery downstairs?
I did.
Yeah, I did.
I thought about grabbing a slice. There's just a pizza downstairs. I thought about it.
brownie with M&Ms on it.
It looked wonderful. But I heard the Zoe and Beetle reaction driving yesterday. And I legitimately celebrated. And, you know, I heard the breaking news sounder. I said, it can be one of only two things. I was talking about this with Jeff Williams, who works overnight. It can only be one of two things when I heard it. I'm like, either they just traded Gilmore or Cam's out. And it turns out it was the second thing. So what do we have that happened last night, Wallach,
Let's start with the Patriots. And it's just a shocking roster move by Bill Belichick that, of course, as we've been talking about, happened 6 minutes after the end of our program yesterday.
Shocking to some.
Cam Newton, the guy that 95% of the media and fans here thought would be this team's starting quarterback week one of the regular season, out! Shown the door by the HC of the NEP. Now, Belichick, you would think, knew he was going to do this when he met the media yesterday, right? I mean, he met the media at about 8 o'clock.
Now, he's probably known he's going to do this since, like, April. But, yes, he knew then.
But,
yes.
I mean, the media was asking him questions yesterday. Yesterday was cut-down day. Listen to his answer specifically about Cam a little less than 24 hours ago.
Again, last year was, you know, totally different. So I feel like everybody's way ahead of where they were last year. Certainly started at a much higher point than what he did last year. So... yeah, definitely moving in the right direction.
Yeah. The right direction meaning off my team. That's the right direction for Cam. I don't want to look at him anymore. I don't want to watch him spike balls into the ground. I don't want to watch him take sacks. I don't want to watch him get his head knocked off trying to gain 3 yards near the goal line. I'm done with it. I want Josh McDaniels to actually be able to run my offense that I was used to seeing. Get out of here. Stop ruining my football team. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
That's so annoying. I mean, it's not like shocking that Bill did that, but that's so annoying that Bill's up there like, well, even a previous answer. Well, same answer. Oh, it's the same answer. You're about to cut Cam Newton. You're about to make Mac Jones a starting quarterback. And I understand I'm being a little misleading there because he was saying same answer as like to the previous question. But like to just say same answer when you're being asked about the quarterbacks is so purposefully misleading and, you know, being willfully ignorant, which is exactly what he was doing yesterday. And it's nothing new, but it is annoying that Bill's doing that. It's also annoying that, by the way, he's going to be on a Zoom call today and not at the podium. He was originally scheduled to be at the podium, at least when
those are new COVID restrictions.
When the first weekly email came out from Stacey James this week, it was going to be Bill at the podium 2 days in a row in his mesh shorts and collared shirt like he wore yesterday.
The Delta variant has taken hold. I mean, you can only go with where the science points you.
And now he's going to be on Zoom, and we will carry that live 8-ish. I would emphasize the ish with Belichick.
Yeah, he was about 15 minutes late yesterday, so I would imagine somewhere around 8:10 or 8:15. But anyway, after this move, the players, Jones, left to answer the questions. The head coach didn't have to. And so James White was shocked like the rest of us.
You know, on this day, every year, you never really kind of know what to expect. There's a lot of transactions that go on across all 32 teams, so you never know what's going to happen. I said Cam did his best job for us and he competed extremely hard. Obviously, it's, you know, unfortunate to see him go, but he's a good football player. I hope he gets another opportunity to land on his feet.
All right, so White also added, the questions now were, well, when did you know that Mac Jones is going to be the starting quarterback? Well, White added he found out pretty quickly that Jones was ready to step in and take over.
He can tell he has what it takes from, you know, the first practice with him. Like I said, he's constantly learning, constantly trying to improve. He's tough on himself, but I think he expects, you know, has high expectations for himself. And when he comes into the huddle, like I said, he wants to control the huddle and make sure that everybody who's in there with him believes in him. And like I said, he's building that confidence each and every day, trying to improve each and every day. Because there's a lot of stuff, man, like quarterback has to do. And like I said, he's constantly in the film room, constantly asking questions, trying to find ways to improve.
So, hallelujah, Mac Jones is the starter. And, Joe, I don't know if you saw this, he is now the new betting favorite to be the NFL's Offensive Rookie of the Year. Whoa, as a result.
Yeah. No. Is he the favorite?
Yes.
He is the favorite.
Over Lawrence.
Betting favorite over Trevor Lawrence, over Trey Lance, over Justin Fields.
My mistake. I thought he was second to Lawrence.
No, he is now the betting favorite. So, Vegas seems to know something. And along with Cam Newton, of course, that was part of the bigger picture. The Patriots submitted their full roster cuts yesterday to get down to the NFL mandated limit of 53 players. So along with Cam, Brian Hoyer also let go, along with kicker Nick Folk, tight end Matt Lacoste, wide receivers Isaiah Zuber, Christian Wilkerson. Kind of a strange move. Kicker Quinn Nordine actually made the active roster after an uneven preseason. Stephon Gilmore placed on PUP. That makes him unavailable until Sunday, October 24th, and a home game against the Jets at the earliest. And linebacker Anthony Jennings also out for the season after being placed on injured reserve. So, Jones, not only Cam Newton's cut, but a lot of interesting roster moves by Bill Belichick. You would think Nick Folk will be brought back and Nordine will wind up on the practice squad. And the
is that what you think about the kicker, just real quick?
I
think they're going with Nordine.
Folk is so much better than this kid, or at least based on what I saw last season. Maybe Folk's back acted up again. Maybe he's injured and, you know, Belichick's going to wait. But again, it kind of goes in line with Cam Newton. You spend so much money making this team better. Nordine certainly has range, but he's wildly ineffective from all distances. We saw him miss extra points. We saw him miss long field goals. He can make a 55-yarder and then shank a 22-yarder wide right. I don't want that guy, especially if you're going to wind up playing close games. I don't want that guy deciding my future.
Me neither. And, Joe, I know you don't either. Just real quick, though, the Hoyer thing, I think Hoyer is going to be back. Maybe they're taking a look at another veteran quarterback, but I think Hoyer is going
to
be back.
Well, you have to bring him in. You have to bring him back. The idea of signing Hoyer in the first place was to tutor the kid, right?
Maybe, but maybe they could bring in another veteran that they think is better.
I look at Garrett Gilbert, but whatever.
Like, I think Hoyer is going to be back. I didn't really consider that with Folk, but I think they're going with Nordine, which is kind of scary.
Yes, very scary.
You think Folk is going to walk back in?
No, well, I don't know. What I think is going to happen is they wanted this kid to be on the roster to keep that undrafted streak going, right? Somebody who makes the initial 53 as an undrafted, he makes it. But I think it's better that if they keep him now, because you get the rest of this week to look at him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could at least look at him maybe in some game situations next week. You could cut him next week. And you know,
there's a better chance of sneaking him
exactly.
through. Okay, well, that's what Wallach's saying. There's a better chance to sneak him through to the practice squad after he makes the initial
roster. This kid, though, again, he's always shared time.
Who the hell was beating down the door to bring this kid in? Well, he was shanking kicks left and right.
Well, Harbaugh was there. He slept at his house.
Yeah, that's true. That's a story. Yeah. That's right. Harbaugh went to his house, recruited him.
That is true.
Slept there to make sure he went to Michigan. But ultimately,
he also wasn't very good at Michigan.
No, he shared time. He was the second kicker at Michigan. And you know what? He cost me money against Penn State.
Yeah, well, that's there the now we're getting to the real story.
He missed like three field goals in that game. Chip shots.
How many bananas did you lose?
Well, they won, but they didn't cover.
Well, how many? I mean, this sounds like a significant hit for a guy who gambles a lot.
It's because why are you sending that guy out there? I'm looking like Harbaugh. You're going to lose your job because of a stupid kicker. This kid's not good. He's not good enough.
He
can't make it 17 games. We don't even know if Mac Jones can make it 17 games. This kid, forget it.
He's not good enough. And getting back to Nick Folk, and again, we're talking about a kicker, but on this team, I think the kicker matters, especially when you're depending upon a rookie to get you down the field consistently. You want to make sure you capitalize on all opportunities he gives you. I mean, Nick Folk had a real good year last year. If he's out there,
he costs you two wins, meaning he costs you draft capital. If he misses those kicks against the Jets and the Cardinals, I think it was, you're drafting in the top 10 and maybe you got Fields.
So Nick Folk, I mean, kickers are at a premium in the NFL, especially with extra points being
especially
moved
with
back.
This team.
And
man.
I think if Nick Folk is out there and he's healthy, some other team's going to snap him up. I mean, this is if it is indeed a gamble and Folk isn't hurt, there's a real possibility that after the Patriots, Joe, get ready and finish evaluating Nordin, folk won't be there for them to pick up.
And a bunch of other teams cut their kickers. I know Detroit went with no kickers yesterday.
Right.
And just to clear it up, Trevor Lawrence is the favorite for.
I was reading.
What happened though is odds went from 1,200 to 500.
Got it. Yeah. So Max spiked a lot, but Trevor Lawrence is still the favorite.
And he's the favorite when it comes to most wins. Okay. Lawrence is still second in that category, and he plays for the Jags. So I think getting Jones at that number, my plus 125, I think it's, I don't want to say easy money.
Lay down those bets.
Might want to jump on that one today, everybody.
So I find the one quarterback thing very interesting. And I'm sure just no one else wants Brian Hoyer, and I'm sure Bill Belichick feels that Hoyer he has in his back pocket, but I wouldn't hate seeing an upgraded backup quarterback. Like Murray mentioned Garrett Gilbert. I heard Bedard yesterday, who I thought got off very easily from Felger. I really thought they were going to hold his feet to the fire a little bit more. I thought he got off very easily yesterday. I heard him mention Kyle Allen as a potential veteran quarterback.
They were interested in him.
That's what I believe Tony said at one point. I didn't realize they had interest there. So there are some veteran names, obviously, that are out there and potentially available. If you're looking for an upgrade at backup, which I do think, you know, you got to consider with Mac Jones. Now that Mac Jones is your guy, I have no problem with Cam Newton being out. It's not like I'm saying, wow, they should have kept Cam around. I have no problem with him being out. I think if he's here, Mac's looking over his shoulder, the locker room may still be aligned with Cam Newton. You got to worry about the whole variable of, like, are you playing two quarterbacks? I have no problem with Cam not being here. But you really need to think long and hard about if Mac Jones is either ineffective or gets hurt, who's coming into a game. And Brian Hoyer is not a great example, great answer.
All right, real quick, before we go to the break.
Yes.
You look at Cam Newton, who's now a free agent. Is that the end of his NFL career? Do you think he would sign anywhere else as a backup? I saw Dallas was interested in him yesterday. See, I'm not sure.
I think he'll sign somewhere.
I mean, there's no team that's ever going to start him, barring injury.
Well,
there's
no team
that's going to look at him and say,
He may have started his last game, but I don't
really
think his career is over.
Do you really think he will sit on the bench and watch for a long period of time?
Yeah.
I'll
tell you this much. So Bovada actually has odds which team Cam Newton will play for next. Dallas is the favorite.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a good fit for him there, right? Like that, he's going to get respect from everybody. He'll clearly be the backup, and that system is somewhat of a Dak Prescott system.
See, that's the thing. You have to put Cam in that kind of system, especially now where you didn't have an offseason to install something, and you know you can't have two different offenses. So he needs to go to a team like Baltimore, for example, that runs that type of offense for him. And, yeah, I can see Dallas as part of that, but you're limiting your selection here. Now, there are more running quarterbacks now. Quarterbacks are expected to pick up yards for the most part with their feet as well as their arm. But with Cam, it takes a specific type of offense to maximize what ability he has left, and that limits the playing field significantly. He can't go just anywhere. There are, what, 5-10 teams max that he can go to?
It's closer to 5 than 10, I would assume. 617-779-0985. And that assumes teams even want him in the first place.
Which I don't think they do.
It's Toucher and Rich. No Fred, no Rich. Jones, Wallach, Murray. Taking you up until 10 a.m. here on a Wednesday. Murray has all the latest in your Hub headlines, and we're right back with more What Happened.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.641 here on the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich. Jones, Wallach, Joe Murray. Here on a Wednesday morning, 617-779-0985. That's your phone number to call in and tell me how right I was about Mac Jones, being the starting quarterback week one. Not an arbitrary deadline, it turns out. No. Week one, a very important deadline.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I remember that question before. About,
yes.
What's important? Sometimes the preseason doesn't begin until week five.
Well, no, the season doesn't begin until week five. Yes. No, it turns out it's a very important deadline. And again, you know, just who really keeps track? But some of us were right and some of us were wrong. I you know, I don't want to name names. I don't want to point fingers. But just, you know, some of us were just completely and totally right. And others, you know, kind of wandering around in the dark trying to find the light switch. But again, I don't want to name any names.
Hey, Eric, Wallach, what was your tweet yesterday?
The rest of Boston.
Which one?
What was your original tweet yesterday?
Yeah, seriously, which one is a good question
which
by
one?
Wallach?
Which one?
About maybe being insufferable.
Yes. My direct tweet was after it happened, I tweeted two things. First of all, 10:06 a.m. never effing fails. And it's true. It never fails.
That is true.
It happens all the time after this program is over. And not like at 11:30, like 10:05.
Yeah.
Big things happen. And then the next tweet I fired off, it was Jones is going to be insufferable tomorrow. And that's true. I gave you the suggestion to call in sick.
I tried to tell you to just call in sick right then and there.
It's 42 minutes in, and we're just at the beginning of the hurricane. So there are stronger winds to follow. And the best part was, and social media is such a great thing, said, oh, way to bag on the new starting quarterback, Wallach.
Wallach.
Like I was talking about Mac Jones.
Yeah, Wallach.
Okay.
Way to bag on him.
Yeah, that's right.
Good call there, Wallach.
That's fantastic.
But let's get to a team worth bagging on. That would be your Boston Red Sox, who, not to spoil things, but lost again last night.
Yeah, the Red Sox continued a four-game series with Tampa Bay, and as a result of last night, they're 10 games out of first place. The big inning last night, the third inning, Sox and Rays tied at one, entering the bottom of the third. You figured, okay, game's off to a good start, right?
Sure.
Wrong. Sox became the worst version of themselves. It was the worst inning of the season. Now, I want to play you this one highlight, and it's long. It's about a minute long, which is usually a no-no in radio, but I want you to listen not to Dave O'Brien, who's calling the play-by-play of this clip, but to Dennis Eckersley.
Oh, he's going to rope that one down for a base hit. Kiermaier is in to score. They're going to hold the trail runner. Here comes another run in to score.
What is that?
And the runners move up to second and third.
Is that the ugliest thing you've ever seen in your life?
Well, the Red Sox have been playing some very sloppy baseball lately. They certainly did in Cleveland last night. A big error by Devers late in the game. And now another mistake.
That is horrible.
Franco, by the way, extending his streak to 31 in a row.
So much for that breaking ball just spinning out there. It's a rope to right field.
He's not done.
This is going to score one. They were going to hold up Mejia, right?
That's right.
Renfro gets this ball in. Big hop, and here he goes. Lets it go. Two hops, and Daubak can't catch it. It's two hops to hit the cutoff man. Just not a good throw to begin with, but you've got to catch that ball.
That error is going to be on the first base.
Yes.
Yeah. Eck spent most of the third inning. And by the way, the Rays got six runs in that inning, and they go on to win 8-5.
The Red Sox, like, you know, and it was two guys. It was Brad Peacock.
Yeah.
Who they found on the scrap heap to start the game. And then
Let's get to that. They were hitting every other guy in the lineup. The Rays scored six runs in the third inning on two walks, two hit batsmen, a wild pitch, a bloop to the outfield, which wasn't that play. That was misplayed into a two-run double. That Bobby Dalbec error, two singles.
And Dalbec had two errors in the game.
Dalbec had two errors in the game, one where he picked up his glove too fast and the grounder hit him in the right thigh, which was a good look. Red Sox rallied. They got the tying run of the plate in the ninth. They lost 8-5 to Tampa Bay. Aww. Oakland wins in Detroit. So the Sox wild card lead. They still have a wild card spot. Down to one game on the Athletics.
Tied in the loss column with Oakland.
That's true. Right. So his ship is sinking, but Alex Cora, like Kevin Bacon in Animal House, insists all is well.
Oh, yeah.
It is one of those that we just got to see what we have tonight, what we have tomorrow morning, and show up tomorrow. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. We know where we're at, and we still are in a good position, you know?
Yeah.
You're in a great position. The fun doesn't end there either, by the way. Cora pulled Xander Bogaerts from the game right before that six-run third.
How?
Because he tested.
How is it still happening? The guys are getting pulled mid-game.
He had a positive COVID test, and for some reason, that didn't pop until the third inning.
I get that he had a positive test. How did they not find out till the middle of the game?
I don't know.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
How does that happen after over a year of testing?
Yep.
And like a full year of testing just in Major League Baseball, never mind like testing in the world in Major League. How are guys still getting pulled mid game?
I would think how'd the rapid happen? Response. I mean, you test the guys when they show up at the ballpark at 3 or 3:30, and you should get the results back before first pitch. It shouldn't be that difficult. But because Bogaerts is out, there are 8 players in protocol now, including 4 relievers.
Well, Cora told me over the weekend they were doing a good job with COVID, so that number sounds a little high.
Yeah, it's a great look for the anti-vaxxers here. Bogaerts will miss at least 10 days, and the one solid part of his lineup is gone at the worst possible time.
Obviously, Xander, he's the leader of the team. He's one of the best shortstop, if not the best shortstop in the league, and we're going to miss him. But, we still have our pitching staff. We still have some capable guys that can swing the bats. We'll talk about what we're going to do.
Okay. There are 28 games left in the season. Bogaerts is gone for over a third of them, and they have a 1-game lead in the wild card. Now, getting back to your point, Jones, did you see who started and who was the first guy out of the bullpen last night? Brad Peacock, a guy the Sox got for cash, who was pitching in the minors for Cleveland. He started, didn't make it out of the third inning.
Weird.
And then Steven Gonzalez, a 27-year-old mediocre Worcester reliever who had an ERA of about 5 at AAA, came on. He got through the next 2 2/3. Phillips Valdez, another 2020 cast-off that looks like a cartoon character. He's about 6'1", 155 pounds.
Pretty,
he came in and finished
fit.
Up. 3 guys that weren't on the team 4 days ago pitched for you last night. So now you are 1 game up. You have no bullpen to speak of. You have Garrett Whitlock and a bunch of other guys. Adam Ottavino. Barnes is in protocol. So even though he wasn't pitching well, so I guess Ottavino is your closer, and that's not what he was brought here to do.
Today's September 1st, right?
I mean, the new rules in Major League Baseball stipulate you can only add 2 new players. You can only expand your roster to 28 players this year. You have 2 guys coming up. And basically, I think Danny Santana is one of them, and I forget who the other guy is.
Well, that'll fix everything.
Yeah, no, the Sox are in an enormous amount of trouble. And I tweeted this last night. What you're seeing now, and again, the circumstances are different. COVID has a lot to do with this. But for those people who are not old enough, this is what it was like to be a Red Sox fan before 2004, because this happened every single year. Something horrible would happen, and they'd fall on their swords somewhere in August and September.
It's why I still believe they're going to fall flat on their face every time. I still believe the Red Sox every time are going to fall flat on their face. Are they still a playoff team? Yesterday, I thought they were a playoff team. Are they a playoff team?
No.
One day?
No. Yes.
One day?
Hey, Chris, Bogaerts tonight, kid.
Bogaerts.
No. To go back to that?
The Cam Newton, Mac Jones stuff has completely spooked you.
No, it hasn't.
One day later, you're out? You were in yesterday. You're out?
I'm out because Bogaerts is out. That's what makes the difference for me. Bogaerts has gone at least a week and a half.
I got news for you. He's been out there every day just about since the All-Star break. They've sucked. They're 20-23 since the All-Star break.
Bogaerts
or no Bogaerts, they weren't making the playoffs.
The only thing that, that's your opinion. My opinion is if Bogaerts is there, they have a chance. I didn't know 4 relievers were going to go on the COVID list. I mean, some of them can actually pitch. So Sawamura can actually pitch. Josh Taylor can actually pitch. You know, Barnes was not doing well, but Ottavino, 5 times out of 10, can actually save a game for you. They had guys who knew what they were doing out in the bullpen. Now all of them are gone. You're picking up guys off the street to come in and pitch for you. I didn't know this was going to happen 3 days ago. Neither did you.
You're right. And I just want to bring this up. All right. So we're killing the Red Sox. They're having one of these collapses that you're talking about. That
the 2021 Red Sox have turned into the 2020 Red Sox. You got guys with numbers like 85 and 70 pitching for you.
But what I'm trying to say, remember last year we used to argue about, Joe, what's he doing? Look what he's dealing with. Look what he's dealing with.
Yes.
And I'd be like, no, they're still.
You were all over Papa Ron Renicke. You're like, he's a horrible manager.
My point was, it doesn't matter
because the personnel he has sucks.
What I'm trying to tell you now is, now it's real. Now this is the personnel. I think there's still a good manager. I still think there is. But, like, I just want to let you know, Brad Peacock started on 3 days rest after pitching like 100 pitches
at AAA.
At AAA yeah. 3 days ago. That's where this is ago.
In the minors yep. for another
that's
team.
That's not a good man. That's not a great.
He had nothing to do with it. What that had to do with is they literally had no other arm to pitch.
But like 3 days?
They like this guy, Reynel Espinoza, another guy they brought up from AAA. They wanted him to start. He was on regular rest, but because they had no bullpen arms, he had to pitch in relief two nights ago.
Look, to me, the Red Sox sucking, like I know that. This COVID thing with them, the Shaughnessy tweet that you put in was just a home run, Joe.
I wonder if Linda read that one.
John Henry's going to spit out his Metamucil this morning when he's reading the Globe.
I don't think John Henry noticed.
It's going to be a spit take of his oatmeal.
I don't think he noticed.
Dan O'Brien just said. Just spits out his oatmeal and his Metamucil as he reads it. Teeth go flying. Way to go. Anti-vaxxer Red Sox, Dan Shaughnessy says. One of six teams not on board. So what does that mean? One of six teams that didn't reach the 85% threshold?
I think that's what that means, yes.
Now they've lost Xander Bogaerts, official dumpster fire, great leadership. They totally deserve what is happening to them. Bravo for Shaughnessy there. This whole thing, and this is not to take too many victory laps today because, you know, I'm already over my quota, but this is something that I said routinely, and Wallach, I think you'll back me up on this. I'm like, the Yankees and Rays have gone through adversity all year long. They've gone through real adversity, meaning like injuries, COVID with the Yankees. Like all those teams dealt with it early on. And they were ahead of the Red Sox, really before the Red Sox hit a ton of adversity. Now adversity's finally hitting the Red Sox. You knew it would. Baseball, what do we always say? Baseball is a game of attrition. It's a season of attrition. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Whatever cliche you want to put on it. Well, now the Red Sox have their health-related adversity. You know, the Rays lost Glasnow early. The Yankees have lost a billion guys in and out of the lineup all year long, and they've had their own COVID issues, which were mocked by Red Sox fans. I have no sympathy, none, for what's going on with the Reds. They couldn't reach the vaccination status, and obviously I want all players to be healthy, and like I'm not rooting for them to, you know, their own personal health situation to come out poorly, but I have zero sympathy for what's going on with the Red Sox. Their players haven't reached that threshold. Shaughnessy says they're one of six in baseball, and while you fattened up while everybody else was dealing with injuries, COVID, and adversity, now it's finally hitting you. I'm not shedding any tears for Cora, who says, oh, I'm tired. Oh, it's so difficult. Well, it was difficult on the Yankees and the Rays earlier this year, and they overcame it. Now it's coming for you, and your team can't handle it.
Yeah.
Your team can't handle it.
This team has a very fragile ecosystem, and I think I've talked to you about this before, Jones. The offense isn't necessarily very good. The offense had a middle of the order that hit the entire season. And for you to lose one of those guys, the one consistent producer for at least a week and a half, could be longer, you know, and at this point in the season is an absolute killer. The Bogaerts thing is the tipping point. You can't lose a guy like that at this point in the season. And because he tested positive for COVID,
so you're
and
out, is now?
Out at least
you're
10
out.
Days, yes.
You're officially out.
I'm out.
September 1st,
I'm out.
John Wallach is a Joe Murray out.
I'm out because Bogaerts is out. That's why I'm out.
Okay.
I thought with Bogaerts in, at least they had enough talent to do. There's nothing that they have that can overcome this loss.
All right, good. Well, welcome to the club. This is a less lonely club, admittedly, than the Mac Jones club. Which was very, very, very lonely.
Yeah, you were on Jones Island there for
but
a while.
But I forget I'm trying to remember, more ways than one. I'm trying to remember what side was I on. Was I on the Mac Jones is going to start week one, or was I on the Cam Newton is going to start week one? I'm just trying to. I know I said it like once or twice. I think I was leaning Mac there. I think I was. We'll get back to that with all your phone calls. 617-779-0985. Mac Jones, your starting quarterback. Cam Newton, no longer with the Patriots. Why now? Why the timing of it now? We'll get to that at the top of the hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.